Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
In his last column before the UK general election, our London-based columnist Paddy Duffy reckons the system of voting over there lacks all proportion.
In 2011, the Tory government got their first taste for disingenuous referendums by posing a question on AV. Despite the fact it's the method by which we run by-elections and choose the president, the Tories made it sound like a needlessly complex exercise. The motion failed and turned the red lines of their pro-PR partner, the Liberal Democrats, into washed-out pink smudges. The Lib Dems' name has been mud ever since, as their King Midas in reverse campaign this time around has shown. But from this relatively obscure point has emanated all our current madness. It's now year 9 on Tory Island, and with just a few days to go before voting day, polls suggest we may be trapped here for another half decade. Although it's hard to know for sure. There's only so much polls can do in a voting system where constituencies can be won with well under 40% of the vote, and with the added Remain Leave and mitigating local dynamics, there's as much logic to who wins a constituency as a game of Mario Kart. All of this has contributed to making the most important election in a century into an unscientific tactical kick scramble, where people are forced to stuff the three complicated dimensions of their opinions into one and hope they don't accidentally make a hames of it. In 2015, 11 million people voted Conservative, under 30% of the eligible vote, and it granted the Tories an overall majority. The following year, just over 17 million people voted to leave, and it granted the Tories the right to lose their senses. For all the talk of democratic will being denied post-Brexit, that in a country of 60 million, such paltry numbers can alter destiny so dramatically is an objective scandal. If you were starting from scratch and somebody suggested that that was a fair way of choosing a government, you'd take their car keys away. How can the will of the people be done when the way of measuring it is so dislocated? It's not the only thing that's been out of step in this election. The BBC has been in trouble variously for bad editing of news packages and bad guest booking, somehow managing to let Boris Johnson wriggle off the hook for an interview with Andrew Neil. Even when an interviewer does get him to sit down, the results can be disappointing. Just yesterday on Sky News, Boris Johnson was asked what was the naughtiest thing he's ever done. That question worked for Theresa May because it was so out of her orbit it revealed a certain truth. Asking Johnson the same thing over 2 years later, when your average punter has a top five list of his naughtiest bits, feels like a waste. It's not just been a de facto presidential race, but one that's been very English too. Admittedly, Northern Ireland has been more of a campaign point than usual, although that's only been when Boris Johnson has either misremembered, deliberately or otherwise, the details of his own Brexit deal. Northern Ireland, of course, uses PRS TV most of the time, and so small wonder parties there have been wisest to tactics for first past the post. The result of this could spell trouble for the DUP's seat count in Belfast, and trouble for UK correspondents wondering how to spell Claire Hannah and Colm Eastwood if their votes become key for putting a government together. In Scotland, the SNP, who've been running a country with a proportional voting system for over a decade now, acquit themselves well when they're part of the national conversation. And Nicola Sturgeon has been a consistently good performer. Despite this election being fought mostly on English terms, if the SNP can turn over Tories in sufficient numbers, expect Scottish affairs to go right to the front. It's in Wales, though, where the elections, and forgive me for getting so technical here, higgledy-piggledy-ness, most prominently comes to the fore. Take a trad Labour heartland that voted to leave, with a substantial Tory bloc, and some heavily volatile marginals, and parties as diverse as Plaid Cymru to the Brexit Party, and you have the makings of some serious upsets. Given the fact that it's the most significant election in over a century, this election doesn't have much of the feel of a crossroads. It's more like driving through a storm where your wipers can't keep up and you accidentally miss your turning. For the vote on Thursday, nobody is convinced, whatever else they're convinced of, that this will decide anything, whatever the result. A Tory majority, a Tory pact with the DUP or whoever, a Labour-led rainbow coalition, or something between all those stools. Thursday isn't the end of the battle. It's just setting the location for the next one.
The view from London there of Paddy Duff.